And this segment of the show is also sponsored by Computer Renaissance. Buying, selling, and trading new and used computers. They have now two locations in Crossroads Shopping Center in Cary. And in Raleigh, in the North Hills Plaza across from North Hills Mall. Go ahead and see what they have to offer you. And we're also sponsored by the Learning Center. They are at 544-3356. And to find out more about network, give them a call. Network Technology Training, give them a call there. And find out also about the Career Fair Open House that's going to take place on September 17th from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. And our last sponsor is the Computer Digest, the new Computer Digest. And there's a new one out. So pick it up at libraries and bookstores. And we are talking here in the studio with Heath Fallon. Heath is the president of Essential Technologies, a training company based right here in our midst. Our number is 860-0850, and the lines are open. I want to see them light up. I know there are people out there who want to ask questions or have comments. I still haven't heard from anybody who had a crash and burn situation. Is this a crash and burn situation? Let's find out. Good morning, Unit. No? Good morning, Unit 50 The Buzz.
Good morning, Amnon. Question on updating modem from a 14.4 to a 33.6 or higher.
Internal, external?
Internal.
Uh-huh.
Basically, what steps do you have to take other than setting the jumpers? I'm using it on Windows 3.1.
And what COM port is your old one on?
2.
Okay, there's really not much you have to do except do the following. You're going to a 33.6?
Yes.
And 3.1. Okay, so make sure you set it up as COM 2 IRQ 3, which is normal. It comes out standard that way.
Okay.
You want to do the following, and others who are listening may want to write that down also. We did it a few times. In DOS, go ahead and edit win.ini. Go down to the ports and set up the speed of COM2 to 57600.
Okay.
It's probably, within Windows, you can only go up to 19.2, and a lot of people don't even do that. So set it up to 57600, and at the end of the line, there will be either an X or a P. You want it to be a P.
Okay.
And that's hardware handshake. Don't ever go into the ports in the control panel after you do that and set anything on that COM port, because it'll set it back down to 19.2 and you have to go through this again.
Okay.
Now, the other thing you need to do is, and is this just 3.1 or 3.1.1 workgroup?
3.1.
Okay. You may want to download a program called CyberCom, which is a CyberCom that, forgot. It's a program that, it's a communication driver that replaces the one in Windows to allow fast communication.
Okay.
It's available, I think, on Qualcomm, ftp.qualcomm.com. I used to have it on the bulletin board. I don't run that anymore. I think I do have it on our FTP site. No, I don't. It's only... No. Just do a search on cybercom.star or that something.
Okay.
Do you know that program I'm talking about?
No.
There's a lot of modems also that come with replacement drivers. But you have... Try it first. That second thing after you save this is go and edit system.ini. Go down to the 386 ENH section And at the bottom of it, add the following line. Come to FIFO.
Come to what?
FIFO, first in, first out.
Okay.
FIFO
okay.
equals one.
Okay.
That will allow the computer to take advantage of the 16550, which is on board of the modem.
And that's in the system INI, right?
That's in the system INI under the 386 enhanced, the 386 ENH section. Just put it at the bottom of the section.
Okay.
And reboot your computer or start Windows and see how it works. If you don't see good throughput, now this is not gonna change the rate that the modem connects with somebody with another modem. This is gonna change the rate that the information is coming from the modem onto your computer and onto your screen.
Okay.
So if you don't connect a 288, that's not because of what you just did. That's because of phone lines.
Okay.
But if you see that the screen is not updating as fast as it can, or maybe you're losing characters, go ahead and tell you what, just give me a call at 233-2000, and I'll try and find where that program exists these days. 95 doesn't need it, so it's been a long time since anybody brought that up. But you will have to also, if you need it, you need to go back into your WinINI and change the com.drv equals com.drv to com.drv equals cybercom.drv. That's it. Cybercom.drv. Now it came back.
Okay.
But you may not have to do it. I know a lot of people that didn't have to do it. But this is the only thing you have to do.
Okay. Would I normally have to do anything with the initialization string? From the old, from the 14.4 going to the 13.
Where is your initialization string? In what program?
It's in AOL.
I'm not familiar with AOL, but you probably only have to tell it that you have a 33.6 Haze compatible or USR or whatever they call it. Most modems these days do not really have an initialization string. They just use the ATZ. They save the defaults into a register, and then they just invoke it with the ATZ.
Okay.
But you need with AOL, you're going to have to find out. And I didn't know AOL supports 33.6 anyway. Do they?
Yeah, they have some access numbers now for 33.6.
Okay. Yeah, so go ahead and give it a shot and see how it works. If you have any more problems, feel free to call me during the week.
Okay, thank you very much, Emma.
Sure, thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. Okay, Windows 3.1. I still use it at home. Well, I still use it at home. I don't think 95 is worth my time.
95 is a pain sometimes.
It's I don't like something that comes in and say, I'll do it for you. I know better than you. You just leave it up to me, and then it screws up. Right. And it doesn't give you a way how to correct it.
Right.
And like Pete says, the only thing to do after that is F-disk format and do it again.
Right.
Our number is 860-0850 right here at The Buzz, and the lines are open. Let's see those lights light up. Any questions? Any comments? We're talking with Heath Fallon of Essential Technologies. Heath, you're talking about training and this training. What advantage does somebody have by being, and it's a trick question.
All right.
what advantages are there for learning MT? I don't know many people that use MT.
Well, that's probably true. Actually, right now, there's not a whole lot of people in the triangle who are fully on MT yet. But as you know, MT is growing pretty rapidly. They grew almost 100% last year. They're forecasted to grow over 100% this year. It's forecasted to grow at more than 100% next year. And really, that's what the industry is talking about, is NT, NT, NT. Since 4.0's come out, a lot of people have started to switch over to NT. As you know, it usually takes Microsoft a few releases to get things right. And 4.0 is really their third release of the software, their third major release. And it really started a major conversion. It actually, I think, even took Microsoft by surprise. Last October when 4.0 first came out, I think people still were waiting for 5. But as soon as 4.0 hit the streets, a lot of people switched over. A lot of the military switched. or started their conversions. A lot of large companies started their conversions much sooner than people expected, and NT is growing like mad. Several articles are out right now. There's an article in PC Week recently. There's several articles in Microsoft-related magazines that are talking about the need for NT-certified people. And Microsoft has even started a new initiative they call Skills 2000, which is they estimated there's over 200,000 vacant jobs now. There's over 40,000 just at their solution providers, which we're a solution provider. And we know it's hard to find good certified people because you have to have certified people to get certain things from Microsoft. So there are over 200,000, by their estimate, vacant jobs. And learning NT right now is a valuable skill. Some MCSEs in the latest salary survey have reported very high incomes. They're averaging. What's that? I'm sorry.
From NT.
Right, for NT, right. NT is really the root of the MCSE program. And
Let me stop you a
sure.
second. I just want to let our audience know, I see the phone lines ringing, that just keep on letting it ring because I'll pick up and answer you the minute we finish this discussion here. Go ahead.
Okay, well, now I was just going to say that they've been reporting higher and higher salaries because the demand is pretty high right now. I don't encourage people to go jump right into NT because they want to go make a lot of money. But if you're in the industry and you want to make yourself a more valuable prospect, I think that learning NT and becoming certified in NT and maybe becoming a Microsoft Certified System Engineer is a great thing to do. It definitely will not hurt. And typically it has enhanced people's jobs prospects quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's see. Let's pick this one. Good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz.
Hi, Alan. This is John.
Hello, John.
I've got a couple things. One thing I heard you mention about Netscape not wanting anyone else to let them download their programs.
Not to post it on their site, yeah.
A week ago, I tried, like forever, to download their new Communicator 4.2.
Right.
And first I go on and it said, you know, I have an hour and a half, and it would say 2 hours. I come back about an hour later and it would say 3 hours. I kept giving up.
You mean while you were downloading?
Yeah.
Yeah, because so many people are hitting their site that the program is looking at the... Is this what you're asking? Why does it do that? And it goes...
Oh, no, I'm just commenting.
Oh, okay.
You know, after a few times, I kept giving up. I wanted to use the phone for other things finally.
Yeah.
I went through CNET and got it with no problem at all.
Well, yeah, but CNET probably, if you look at it, sent you over to Netscape, or did you download it from the CNET site, actual site? There are other sites besides Netscape that Netscape licenses to host the program for other people to download.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only Netscape, but you have to go fish around. And CNET may be one of those handful of companies or sites that they do allow it. But that's very good. Did you happen to see where you were actually downloading it from?
No, I didn't. But
when you go on the net and let's say you go to Two Cows or Stroud or any of those places that have a lot of utilities,
mm-hmm.
when you download it, when you click on the download link, if you notice, it's actually sending you to the company, to the manufacturer, to the vendor's
yeah.
site to download it. All they provide you with is a menuing program to do it.
Yeah, I don't know if CNET was within their own or if they shipped it, but either way, it worked fine.
It worked fine.
You know, an hour and a half or so, and, you know, I was done getting
that. That's a very good tip. I'll take a look at it later on today, and if that's true, this is very good because I know what you mean. I mean, even sitting in the office and using a real high-speed link, sometimes it crawls and it takes a long time to download anything from there, especially if it's they just releasing a new product or a patch or they're in the news for any reason. Everybody's hitting that site and they're adding more and more and more servers, but it's still slow. So you did get it. How do you like the communicator?
Fair. It's better than the older version.
Did you have room on the hard drive?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think it was 12 meg or so to download. I don't know what it did after it installed it.
Yeah, it's getting big there.
Yeah, anyway, I'm thinking about upgrading my motherboard and everything. I have a 686 now. I'm thinking about going like a K6 200.
Uh-huh.
And I was, wondering what the difference is in, like, the different motherboard chipsets, like a SIS or VX, TX, things like that.
I would stay, for something like this, I would probably stay with a TX. The other ones work okay. We sell 233s with a VX. There's no problems, inherent problems that I know of, but you tend to think that because the TX costs a little bit more, and it is Intel, and it is a better made board, that you would have less problems. For the difference in the price, if you can spend a little bit more money, yeah, you may want to go the TX route. I don't know what SIS does these days, and Ali and all those. That there were a whole slew of different chip makers a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Since I started doing the Internet Center, I let my brother Uzi take care of the store, the hardware, and I'm really sort of like out of touch with the old stuff. We don't carry the old stuff, the others, the odd ones. We mainly stay with the VX and the TX.
Mm-hmm.
But the K6 is a really nice chip.
Yeah. Have you heard about a net site or something like that? It's like True Stories of Tech Support.
The one with the putting the piece of paper in front of the monitor to fax it and things like that.
You're
talking about the jokes.
Yeah.
I heard here and there. Why, you have one?
Yeah. Well, when my daughter told me, she found it about, like, it was over a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And, some guy called Tech Support and wanted to find out how to replace his cup holder.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go on.
Okay, I guess he heard it.
I heard it, but there are other people out there who
Yeah. Anyway, they tried to figure out what his cup holder was. They figured it was some kind of promotional support, like a mouse holder or something like that. He said, no, it's part of the computer. And, well, after, I guess, 10 minutes of going round and round trying to figure out what the heck his cup holder was, they couldn't figure out what he's talking about. So finally they asked him if there was any writing on his cup holder. He said, yeah. They said, what was it? And he said, 4X. So.
And it slides in and out.
Yeah.
And a push it above a button.
Guess he put too big a coffee mug on it.
Oh, yeah, it'll break.
Anyway.
All right. Okay, John.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for calling 850 The Buzz. Mm. All right. Cup holders. All right, mouse holders.
Right.
Our number is 860-0850, and you're listening to 850 The Buzz, Computers 97. Your calls are coming up next on the station that wants to pay your rent, your mortgage, and now even your car payment. 850 The Buzz. And welcome back to 850 The Buzz and Computers 97. I'm Amnon, your host, and we're talking with Heath Fallon, President of Essential Technologies. Our number here is 860-0850. 860-0850. Let's see those phone line light up again. Many of you gave up while we were talking. Heath, is there some... We're talking something about free info?
Right. Yeah. If people like to get some more information about our courses, they can call the 800 number. It's 800-358-6112, and we can send them some free information or fax them some information. If they'd like, they can go to our website, and it's www.essentialtech.com. It's all one word, essentialtech.com. And you can also, on the website or from our phone number, you can register for one of our free information sessions, which we're having over the next few weeks. We have one actually coming up this Wednesday, the 10th. At 6 o'clock, 6 to 7, at our training center out in Morrisville, right off of Highway 40 on exit 284. We're going to have a free information session from 6 to 7. We'll have free refreshments. And just come on out, talk to us about your concerns about training, what you're looking for in a training class. We'll tell you what we're going to do in this next, in our first couple of programs, and see if it's a good match. It's We'll also have one over each week over the next 3 weeks. There's one on the 18th and one on the 23rd as well, and they're all at 6 o'clock.
Okay, so this is how you're going to help people, introduce yourself to the...
That's right. Since we are still new and everything, we're trying to get our name out, get people to come meet us, make sure that they're comfortable with us before they actually sign up for the class. And we do ask that you register either on the web or through the 800 number first.
Okay. 860-0850, 850 The Buzz. You're new.
Right.
New people always give breaks.
Right.
So what are you giving the public? What, I mean, do you have any specials? Are you running any specials for grand opening or whatever you call it?
Well, we actually are. That's a great question. This is really kind of our kickoff day. We've started advertising a few weeks ago.
And today is your kickoff day?
Well, we're having a the staff and a couple of our vendors are actually having a little kickoff celebration today. And,
oh.
And then starting on Wednesday, we're taking that to the public with our information sessions of actually kicking it off and bringing it to the public. So we are offering a substantial discount, and starting today, we are offering a 20% off of our normal prices. And our prices are pretty low anyway compared to, I think, compared to the industry standard.
Okay. All right. Fine. What are your prices?
Well, now that I said they're low, you're going to, I hope the people are sitting down because this type of training is expensive. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
The equipment's expensive. The facilities are expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Books, everything is costing us quite a bit. And, of course, the trainer is very expensive. Since we get high-quality trainers, we have to pay them quite well to, mm-hmm. to get them in here. So it's an expensive course. If you take the two-week MCSC program or the night four-week MCSC program.
$7,000, right?
No.
Oh.
Now, that's pretty typical. That's actually on the low end of some of the other programs around here. Ours comes to just under $4,000. It's $39.95, but we are taking a 20% discount off of that through the month of September. So if you can hear that, then give us a call, and we'll take the 20% off. Our phone people don't even know that yet, so if you call them today and try to register, they're going to charge you the full price, but we will give you the discount before we actually register for the course.
And that's for the NT, the 2 weeks.
That's right. That's a five-day NT course, 3 days of TCP/IP, and 2 days of Internet Information Server.
Wow. 20% off.
Right.
Is that the only class that you're running now that you are going to have?
That's the only class we're really offering right now. Now, you can take the NT course or the IP/IIS course separately if you'd like. The prices are a little bit higher, and you don't get the free bonuses like the study guides, because that came from Cybex as a package deal for people who want to take the full MCSE course. But you can take each course separately. I think the price for each course separately is $21.95. But we will give you 20% off of that as well. We really kind of packaged it into one program right now because there seemed to be a large demand in this area for people who are looking for the full network experience, the full NT and IP, which IP and IIS are very important to NT, and they're going to be even more important in 5.0. It's going to be a very integral part of 5.0 to know Internet Information Server.
860-0850, 860-0850, 850 the buzz, the lines are open. Come on, let's see them ring. I'm running out of questions for Heath here. I want to see some questions from the audience. Don't just sit there. You tried before and we didn't answer. Give us another chance here and call in and ask Heath some more questions. Let's bombard him with something. I feel like I shouldn't ask him questions that will. He says he's nervous. It doesn't look nervous to me.
A little bit.
But I don't want to make you more nervous.
No, that's fine.
While we're waiting for this phone calls to come, we had a question from a listener about a week or two ago about what did we hear about what's going to happen to CompuServe. Well, in EduPage this week, H&R Block is considering several offers for its 80% controlling interest in CompuServe. Welsh, Carson, Anderson & Stowe, a leveraged buyout firm, is proposing a deal wherein it would buy a controlling stake in CompuServe, with H&R Block maintaining a minority share. Welsh, Carson would also attempt to purchase at approximately market price the 20% of CompuServe stock that is publicly traded. I don't know what they're trying to do. In addition, H&R Block has received offers from WorldCom and America Online, so nothing is happening as far as something that happened. There's apparently a lot going behind the scenes. People are trying to buy it. We'll keep you posted. And those of you who think that we here at the States are the leaders in computer literacy, think again, because we're not, apparently. And that's according to the 1997 European Computer Literacy Report. Great Britain has the highest computer-to-student ratio in the world. And fully, a third of British households now contain a computer. Higher even than their estimation of 28% of U.S. PC households. Home usage in the U.K. is soaring, up 45% in less than 2 years. Maybe you should open a branch over in the U.K. And every primary school in the country has at least one computer. About 20% of British households have internet access, and the same proportion owns two computers. For the second year running, Britain is ahead of the world in terms of computer use, which means an increasingly computer literate population. They don't just have accents, they have the highest computer literate population. Britain's primary and secondary school pupils have greater access to IT than those in other European countries. The U.S., Canada, and Japan. And Britain has spent more than £1 billion on information technology in schools since 1979. This is nice that they're doing stuff like this for the school. They bring the kids up knowing computers, familiar with computers. This is great. Those of you who worried about, by the way, our number is 860-0850. Those of you who worried a couple of months ago, there was a big to-do about the fact that Social Security Administration placed information on the web where criminals could get in and get information that can help them flourish, shall we say. After closing its internet service down last spring because of concerns about security issues, the Social Security Administration is ready to reinstate the service, which will give you information about your retirement and disability benefits, as well as benefits that would be paid to your survivors. Initial access to the system will be based on your name, Social Security number, date of birth, place of birth, and mother's maiden name. As a security precaution, earning histories will no longer be available online. So they're trying. They're definitely trying. They're trying to get in with the times. They're trying to give us the information that we are so thirsty for. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about why don't we have this and why don't we have that on the net. They're trying. Whether or not this time it's going to fly or people are going to start complaining again that, but maiden name, mother maiden name is there. It's somewhere. Somebody can break in and get all the maiden names. That could be a problem because that's what credit card companies are using to identify us. Okay, let's see who we have here. Good morning, you on 850 The Buzz.
Good morning, Amnon. Ace here.
Hello, Ace.
I had a question on multiple drive designations and trying to keep your CD-ROM drive designation at a D. Is that a possibility? If you have different positions?
No. You can push the CD up and make it like a G, an I, a K, but the reason why you cannot do it is because when the computer comes up, it looks at the hard drives and right away it assigns them drive letters. The CD comes up later on in, not even in the config sys, but it's more like in the auto exec,
right,
where the MSC dex designate it with a letter. By the time it designated with a letter, C, and if you have another hard drive, D, and another hard drive, E, are already taken.
Right.
You were trying to, you have something to say?
Oh, no, I was just going to make a joke and say upgrade to NT, because in NT you can do that.
You can?
Yeah, in NT you can do, it doesn't really need drive letters, so you get to designate the drive letters you want, and you can force your CD-ROM to a certain drive letter and keep it there.
Even though when the computer comes up, it looks at the hardware and it says, here's C, here's D.
Right, because NT looks at the drives as being relative to a controller card, not It's similar to Unix. Instead of forcing them to a drive letter.
It's a system.
Right. And so what you can do is you can renumber or relabel the drives. You can't change the numbering, but you can relabel the drives with drive letters. You can even take the drive letters off if you don't want to use drive letters. That's not very useful for most of us, but you can actually do that. And so you can do it in NT. I was just thinking that was kind of a funny thing.
How much is NT?
It's expensive. I think workstation, I think a full licensed version of workstation is around $300 right now.
Okay, it'll cost you $300 to have it stay as D.
Okay.
Right.
I assume you upgraded, you put another hard drive.
Well, I have a 4 gig and I partitioned it into 2 partitions.
Right, and all your software is looking at the D drive for the CD?
That, and plus I have a zip drive that comes in and out, so that changes my drive to letters also.
Now, the zip drive, you can control. Because the zip drive, again, is a driver.
Right.
And if you load the zip drive after the line, I mean, you're loading GIST.
Right.
If you load GIST after MSCDEX in the AutoExec, it will be the one above the CD.
Gotcha.
If you load it before the MSCDEX line, it will be a drive below the CD. And I think Heath has something else to say here.
Well, I was going to say one workaround you can do, and this is what I had to do with 95, was use the label command so that you can label the CD-ROM something later on, like Y or Z. And
right.
That way it'll always stay there.
I'm using 95, so I don't see the zip drive on the AutoExec, as I recall. Designation, so the labeling may be very useful there.
Right, I'm just saying for the CD-ROM, and that way it'll always go to a certain letter, and even if you add a new drive, it won't bump it down, because I had the same problem. So then your programs all look for D, and they're not there anymore. I know what you mean. So that's something I did to work around that.
Yeah, you can substitute.
Right, you use the /L:, and tell it what you want it to do.
Can you substitute that? I mean, I'm thinking about substitute. The drive may be a D. Maybe an E, but it's also only can go back because there's already a D.
Right, because the primary is taken.
Yeah.
So we just push it down. That way he's got room to grow.
He's got room to grow.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thanks for calling, Ace.
You're welcome.
Bye. And we have another caller here. Good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz.
Well, good morning, Amnon.
Good morning, Daryl.
How are you doing this weekend?
Fine. Larry's not here. Where's your other brother, Larry?
I don't know. You must be enjoying this beautiful weather we're having this weekend.
What's up, guy?
Hey, I just wanted to call in and inform everybody that Carolina Internet Agents is having another free seminar, September 18th, which is a Thursday, from 6 to 9, and Saturday, September 20th, from 1 to 3, relative to a seminar called How to Obtain Wealth from the Internet. This is not a get-rich-quick type seminar. It is really for those individuals that are interested in learning how to develop a business presence on the Internet and how to take an idea that they may have for a home-based business or a small business and develop it and actually provide that service or product over the Internet. So the seminar is free. I strongly encourage everybody to attend. You can call 233-2000, which is the Internet Center, which is where the seminar will be located. Or you can visit my website at www.ciagents.net. And it's kind of interesting that you were talking earlier about education and computer literacy. This is really a good seminar to provide the community with a good understanding of what it takes to do business on the Internet. So,
and again, when are those? I don't keep up with those.
It's September 18th.
The 18th.
Which is a Thursday.
Right.
From 7 to 9.
Okay.
And Saturday, September 20th, from 1 to 3.
Okay.
And it will be held at the Internet Center.
Right. This I know.
This you know. But I'm really enjoying your show. And by the way, I did call the station and let them know that the new format is excellent.
Thank you very much.
So keep up the good work, and I'll be talking to you soon.
Thanks, Daryl.
All righty.
Say hi to Larry.
Okay. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for calling H50 The Buzz. Yeah, see, like Daryl is using the facility to promote his business about how to get your presence on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And He's been doing pretty good.
Really?
He's a good trainer, yeah. I mean, well, it's not a trainer. He's a good speaker.
Right.
I don't know that I would call it trainer, but he knows how to explain to business people better than me why they should be on the Internet and what they should do on the Internet and all that. And it's I enjoy, I sit and I learn from him, too. All right. We need to break away for another commercial. The callers, your calls are coming up next. On the station, it wants to pay your rent, your mortgage, and now even your car payment, 850 The Buzz. And welcome back to 850 The Buzz and Computers 97. I'm your host. My name is Amnon, and I'm here in the studio with Heath Fallon, president of Essential Technologies, a new training company based locally right here, doing training for NT right here locally. And our number is 860-0850, and let's go right to the phone. They didn't give up. Good morning, you're on 850 The Buzz.
Good morning. Is that Amnon?
This is Amnon.
Morning, Amnon. Edmund Bloch.
Hello.
Hello. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I've just tried to open Quattro Pro version 5.
Yeah.
And I get a message which says registration database update failed. And then it goes on, if I sit looking at it, it switches and it says an error has occurred in your application. You can either close or ignore.
You should close.
And I close, and it says a general protection fault module something, something, something.
Right.
How can I correct that?
Did you turn the machine off and start it again?
Well, I just pressed the red button to reboot it. Did I switch it right off? Should I close it completely?
You need to shut down the machine. Are you using 95 or 3.1?
No, I'm in 3.1.
Okay.
I'm like you.
Get out. Yep. Get out of Windows. Turn the machine off. Actually, turn it off. Don't press the reset, and start it again and see if it does it. If it's still corrupted, do you have a backup?
Yes.
You have a backup. Good.
Yeah.
Then I would try. First of all, go ahead and copy the database to another location.
The
actual file with the data in Quattro. Copy it somewhere else, then restore your backup into Quattro and see if that works. It may be that Quattro itself is messed up.
Could I just reinstall Quattro?
Yeah.
Yeah, the trouble is when I try and reinstall it, I have an A drive. I don't have a B drive, and it says insert disk into B drive, which is the old 3.5, just, you know, the big one.
Okay, well, you need to switch it around and make that drive A or B.
How would I do that?
That's hardware. You have to go in and change the plugs and go into the BIOS and change it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll try.
The best thing for you to do is to bring it over. If you need to do changes like that, bring it over and let me help you with that.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. And good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz.
Yeah, I got a question about the browser that comes with AOL, I guess Internet Explorer, I think it's what it's called.
Uh-huh.
I use Netscape, but a friend of mine at work yesterday was trying to print some text web page, and he's, you know, always been able to do it, but recently... beside the URL window that shows where your location is, there's another little window that's there that says something about a free upgrade. And when you go to print text from a web page, all that prints is that free upgrade symbol. And I said, when did this happen? He said, well, just last day or two. So I thought maybe he had screwed around and said something wrong in the preferences. And I looked, and I'm not really familiar with that browser. I don't use it, but...
Tell him to go ahead and get the free upgrade, and hopefully it'll go away. Leave it to AOL to do all this thing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with. They have an Explorer made for AOL. I'm not familiar with it. I don't know why they want you to to go ahead and get a free upgrade? What if I want to stay with this one? And why are they getting between and interfere with what you're trying to do? But leave it to them.
Oh, they did it, man.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. Right. Okay. 860-0850. Heath.
Yes.
Going back to training and we were talking why, what are the advantages of training with NT? A lot of people are beginning, everything that's driving, if you look at it, I mean, maybe I'm looking at not objectively. A lot of what's driving NT these days is servers on a LAN.
Right.
But more and more, the internet.
Right.
A lot of people are using it as an internet server.
That's right.
We're using Unix.
Right. We actually do, too.
A lot of people tell us that NT is not safe. It's easy to break in. I know a few ISPs that use NT that have been broken into.
Right.
The people that have a LAN, they already have a system administrator that does it there. I mean, your average Joe that uses 95 at home, can they become a system administrator for a server-based, NT server-based LAN in an office?
Sure, I think so. I think anyone, again, who has some support.
I'm talking about without taking your class.
I think so. Again, it all comes down to, like, how much work do you want to do? How much time do you have to put into it? And if you have the resources, if you can set up a network at home and you can actually do that, go through the steps of installing networking, installing an NT server, getting it up and running, setting up your domain, adding users and those kinds of things, that's really where you learn it. And I think even in a class, even if they come to our class and they learn from us how to set up a network and how there's not just one way to do that, of course, there's other ways to do it. Still, the real learning, I think, is going to occur when they go home and they start playing with this stuff. I really think that's where your real learning is when you're sitting in front of this thing and it's just not working. And you have to get it to work, and it's up to you to get it to work. That's really where you're going to learn it. And I think that you can either use a combination approach, which is the classroom and home study, which I think works probably the best and the fastest way to get through this. Or if you have more time and you want to stretch it out, sure, you don't have to go to courses to learn NT. Again, it's not rocket science and it's not magical. If you have something else to tie it to, sure, you can build right on what you already know.
So an employer who just had a LAN upgraded, I don't think Ken is going to like this question, could send one of his people who is computer literate and does all the little things in the office on the computer, the guru of the office.
Right. That's actually where a lot of NT administrators come from.
Right.
They were the 95 guru. There were people that answered all the questions. And NT is seen as this big black hole that they don't really want to get into no one wants to get into, and now they have to. And they get into it and they realize, hey, this really isn't that hard. And they start learning it, and it's actually a lot of fun. NT is a lot different from 95. I don't want to say it's the same. It does look the same now. But yeah, I don't think it's a lot harder to support NT than it is 95. It's just different.
So it would really save an employer money.
I think so.
In the long run, to send one of his own people.
I think so.
To take a class like that and administer the network, the local area network.
Definitely. I think the more in-house expertise you have,
the better.
The better off you are, the cheaper your support costs are going to be.
Real quick, why are you using Unix?
We're not using Unix. Our hosting company is using a Unix server because it can actually service more people than an NT server can right now. I mean, just to be honest, Unix can still do things that NT is not quite there yet.
Are you listening, Pete?
They're close. I'm not going to say they're not. I can't knock our core product. But,
no.
But
I mean, more and more people are using it as in the internet industry.
That's right. And, of course, they give you that free Internet Information Server with NT, so they're pushing that product out the door. So,
yeah.
But, no, I mean, you know, and as we get our own hosting again, we'll go back to IIS.
You will?
Yeah.
So
I really like the product. So
you don't think that NT is not secured?
No, I don't think so. I think they have ironed that out. I have seen a couple of there's actually a few websites dedicated to how to crack into NT, and there are some holes that you can slip through. I wouldn't say you could drive a truck through them, but you can get through a couple places if you really know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not doing anything that we really did that's like national security level type of security. So I don't think we have to really be concerned about that yet. Of the slight security risk that's there, it's really very, very slight. And you have to really be dedicated to breaking into the system to do some damage there.
Okay. We have a few minutes left. I want you to, what is it, the 6112?
Right. 800-358-6112 is our 800 sales number. And then they're 24 hours a day.
And that's the Baltimore.
That's right. That's only a sales office. They can answer basic questions about the courses, and they can give you some information about where we are and how to get to the courses and register you for information or to send you free information. If you have real serious questions, you can just page me directly if you'd like.
So that's what I was going to ask. What if people want to talk to you?
Sure. If they want to talk to me, my pager number is 800-475-1681, and I have voicemail there. Feel free to leave me a message, and I'll call you back as soon as I can. We can talk about the course in detail. We can talk about NT and IP if you'd like. We can talk about corporate discounts or group discounts if you want to talk about those kinds of things. And either I'll get back to you with one of that or one of my coworkers will get back to you about that.
800-475-1681 is
your
pager.
That's my pager.
Okay. All right. I think we covered everything that I had in mind here.
Great.
Oh, we're coming to the end of the show. Thank you for tuning in to 850 The Buzz and to Computers 97. And thank you, Heath, for being our guest here.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
As usual, practice self-computing, safe computing, back up your hard drive, and don't forget to use a virus scanner. Of course, we'll be back next Saturday at 8 o'clock. Until then, keep your dial right here on the station that wants to pay your rent, your mortgage, and your car payment, 850 The Buzz. And Larry, I sure hope you're having fun wherever you are.